Make sure you're in fellowship as we are here looking at exhortations, encouragement, intended encouragement to give us in spite of all those around us in the world that are negative to doctrine, unbeliever and believers alike, that seem to be prospering, recognizing that God sees all these things. Everyone will ultimately answer to God. God's judgment will be accurate. It will be precise and according to the evil that they are engaged in otherwise. And on the other end of the coin, God will protect those who are positive, and their reward obviously will be manifested in regards to their phase 3 account, especially Esau, obviously, and his offspring seem to do okay and become very prosperous and powerful in regards to their lives, but he remained an unbeliever. He remained under God's divine hatred and wrath and disrespect. And he obviously is paying the price today in his soul. So, point 33, set point G, page 5 of our notes, to wrap up this section here. God protects positive volition. One of the advantages of being positive is God has special protection for us to ensure that we truly do fulfill God's plan for our life. It'll keep us from harm and other things necessary to maximize in regards to SG3 and to gain the prize if that is our sole desire. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Even the natural things of the world that might otherwise bring about catastrophe for others, God will protect us. The Lord will protect you from all evil. Verse 7, He will guard your soul. That is your most precious commodity, your soul. And He will watch over that positive volition, that is, that soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in all that you do, entry or exit, from this time forth and forever. It is a part of His plan that is irrevocable. Nothing can thwart God's protection otherwise. Proverbs 1:33. And he who listens to me, that's the caveat. To listen to Bible doctrine, your hearing is your most precious sense. To be able to hear Bible doctrine, you can then understand and ascertain what is expected of you by God. And he who listens to me shall live securely. Obviously, you have to faith rest on many occasions. But God otherwise still keeps you protected in His hand, so to speak, and shall be at ease from the dread of evil, where everybody else gets wrapped around the axle in regards to these things in life, as it goes on in societies, even of large-scale criminal activity. The righteous maintain RMA, a relaxed mental attitude over it, and not that they are not smart about it, as necessary to protect themselves and things of this nature. But otherwise, we know and trust God that He is going to indeed fulfill His word to protect us so that we can complete His plan for our life. So 34 now, the history of Esau's descendants here, as we have first presented here in verses 1 through 5. His descendants logically begins with his wives in verses 2 and 3. Again, rereading the verse here, Esau took his wives from the daughters of Canaan, Abraham said no. Isaac said no. This language we use when you're doing dating a Canaanite, you know, people that are not positive to doctrine. Then he gives a list here: Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anna and granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite. Also Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth. So 35, the phrase wives from the daughters of Canaan. That's wives in the plural. And hence it puts all three of them in this category. Ishishah, men by Canaan. Continuing point 35, is a reminder of Esau's contempt for his father and family after his loss of covenant rights. That was back in chapter 28, verses 8 and 9. So Esau, verse 8, saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. So what does he go and do? Esau went to Ishmael and married beside the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. So 36, now this is a clue for the reader that Basemath, now in verse 3, is the same as Mahalath in chapter 28, verse 9, where in both accounts she is noted as Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth, that's Bath, Ishmael, Akoth, Nebaioth, and it's the exact Hebrew phrasing in both verses. So what we have here is the wives of Esau being renamed by their husband, nicknames. That's not anything uncommon in societies to change the names. We've seen it already among patriarchs, Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Esau to Red, Edom. So that is not anything unusual or strange. Commentators, interpreters claim that these are different individuals, but as I will point out here, as I'm pointing out here, they're the same three wives that he married before. They are just now being recorded under their new given names. And the very first the phrase of Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth, is a clue that we're dealing there with the same person here, Basemath and Mahalath. So at 37, the three wives recorded now are the same three wives of Esau, previously introduced in Genesis 26:34 and 28:9, sporting new names or nicknames. 38, it was a common practice for husbands to give their wife a new name after marriage. Maybe your new name is not so formal for your wife. I don't know. Or your husband. Darling. Baby. Or whatever. I won't tell you what Ann's nickname is. Dual names are recognized not only throughout the scriptures, but in history in general. Why this seems to be such a problem that they are recorded with different names by interpreters, really beyond me. It's just people just not easily accepting the facts of how things really are in real life. So we have the same three women. Recorded here as previously recorded, Genesis 26:34. Esau, the other two wives, Esau was 40 years old. He married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. Barry the Hittite is Anna, the son of Zibeon in our verse, and I'll show you that. Barry is a nickname that he has. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. So there we have a recognition of the same father, at least in one of them. And what makes it even almost a little bit more confusing that the Holy Bama is the name of one given to another. Anyway. So the names listed here, Ada, Oholibama, and Basemath. Basemath, are the same as Judith, Basemath, and Mahalath, according to Genesis previously. 41, in addition, one of the fathers has a different name, that's Anna. It's also called Barry, per the event that we'll have recorded in verse 24. In verse 24 here, in the Horite genealogy. These are the sons of Zibeon, Aiah, and Anna. Anna in view in our verse. And he is Anna who found the hot springs in the wilderness where he was pasturing the donkeys of his father Zibeon. The name Barry means man of wells or lakes. That's a nickname that was given to him for being the founder of these things. So Barry means literally man of the wells, springs, lakes. We'll deal with that more in depth when we get to the verse. Anna is the discoverer of the springs in verse 24, then acquires his new nickname and distinction. 42, Anna is a perfect example as to how people come to be known by other than their given names in the cosmos for all intents and purposes here. Again, we've already seen other examples, Esau to Edom, etc. So 43, we can now cross-match the names with accuracy. We can identify who is who and what they ended up being called after the fact. Ada equals Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. That's verse 2 compared to back to chapter 26, verse 34 that we read. B, Oholibama equals Judith, the daughter of Anna, also known as Barry. Verse 2 compared 26, 34. See, in that vein, we are also told that Oholibama was a granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite. That shows Esau's intermarrying with the Horites that will be addressed in verses 20 and 24, 20 through 24. So all this is connected. D, there we see that Barry, or Anna, whatever name you choose, is a chieftain heir. A leader, was the son of Zibeon, tying the marriage to Oholibama with a place of rank and file among the Horites. So when he married the two the Canaanite women, the sub strain of Horites, he married into wealth and prosperity and political leadership. So that gives him, if you will, a foothold. Thirdly, Basemath equals Mahalath. That's Ishmael's daughter, the sister of Nebaioth, the one that is most easily recognized as being the same here. And that's verse 3 in our verse compared to chapter 28, verse 9. So 44, then we had the listing of the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. These sons were born, he married the women when he's living in Canaan, and his sons now recorded were also born while he's living in Canaan. So Ada bore, or Hebrew word Yalag, gave birth to Eliphaz. B, Basemath bore Reuel. So they each had one son. C, Oholibama, she has three. She bore Jeush and Jalem and Korah. So the heads up here, we will see an anomaly that Eliphaz and Reuel, the single sons of the first two mothers, each had a slew of children. The three sons of Oholibama, there's no recorded children from any of those sons. So you got to deal with that. That's an anomaly. It's a truncated, if you will, lineage associated out of that marriage. So 45, now all five sons would have been born sometime during or after Jacob's departure to Haran, some 30 years prior, and would now be strapping young men to help carry on their father's tradition, producing the family heirloom along the way. So over the time that Jacob's been gone, his sons would now be young adults. And they would be ready to marry for themselves and have children. So the chronology works here of them having children. And in 46, finally, this point simply gives you the meanings of names. While some names, obviously, their meanings are significant in regards to characterizing the individual, you don't put a whole lot of stock in the meanings of names otherwise, but they all have meanings. Esau, as we know, we've seen this one already, means hairy. B, Edom, denotes red or ruddy. C, Ada, means ornament, like it's hanging on the Christmas tree. That's as close as we'll get to Christmas around here. D, Elon, means mighty. E, Oholibama, means next president. Oh, wait. No. 10 of the high place. I can't help it. Who wouldn't think of that? 10th of the high place. F, Anna, means answer. G, Zibion, that means colored what, I don't know. H, Basemath, means spice. I, Ishmael, which is not particularly of the lineage, otherwise, means God hears. We dealt with that name earlier. J, Eliphaz, means God of fine gold. K, Reuel, means friend of God. L, Jeush, means he will gather. M, Jalem, means hidden. Secret, something of that nature. And understand that these names, a lot of these names, apart from those that are specifically designated in the scripture, are often speculation in dictionaries and stuff. But anyway, Ancora means baldness or icy. If you're bald around here in winter, your head's going to be icy. All right, now the next section of genealogy. we have Esau abandoning Canaan for Seir. That's verses 6 through 8.